the Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. One of the largest cities in northern Iraq, Mosul, has been seized by the militant group Islamic State in Iraq and Al-Asham. Most Western news reports call this group ISIS. These militants seized four Iraqi cities this week, including Tikrit, Saddam Hussein's hometown. Reports today say Kurdish soldiers took back Kirkuk without much of a fight. Dan Murphy is the national security correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, and he's reported extensively from the Middle East. Murphy says it's hard to say how much of Iraq is under ISIS control right now.
It's difficult to really define control. It's clear they hold Mosul. It's clear they are free to come and go throughout most of the desert along the Syrian border in Nineveh province, of which Mosul is the capital. And they are roaming around Anbar province, which is due west of Baghdad, and they have been advancing south. They seem, based on what I'm hearing, to be held at a town north of Baghdad called Samarra, which is home to probably one of the two or three most important Shiite shrines in Iraq. And so it makes sense that the Iraqi army, which completely failed and melted away, essentially soldiers refused to fight, hold a place like Mosul, they're much more likely to fight to hold the line in a place like Samarra.
You wrote about the capture of Mosul. Why is that particularly devastating for the Iraqi government?
There's the simple fact that it's the third largest city and it is the commercial capital and center of the north. It is very close to parts of northern and eastern Syria, where jihadi rebel groups are very strong. That's this group ISIS that we're talking about. Was sort of born out of the ashes of Al-Qaeda in Iraq and has a dream of carving out a caliphate that's transnational and spans the border of Iraq and Syria. And finally, there's the simple fact that there was an Iraqi division up there. There was something on the order of 20,000-plus troops, and they just gave up the fight almost immediately, which tells us something very important about the state of the Iraqi government and something that's not very pleasant if you're one of the leaders in Baghdad.
What does it tell us about the state of the Iraqi government?
You know, this has been an entirely sectarian government since it was essentially brought to power after the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who's from a Shiite Islamist party, from the moment that after he kicked out the Americans at the end of 2011, began cutting out the legs from under every Sunni politician he could find, turned his back on and started harassing the leaders of the Sahwa, this awakening movement of Sunni Arab tribes that had helped fight jihadis and other insurgents in Anbar towards the end of the American war. He essentially has done nothing to try to forge an Iraqi national identity that doesn't look towards religion. And what we're seeing now is a large numbers of Iraqi Sunnis. This is not just a bunch of guys in this jihadi group ISIS. This was a popular move, it seems, for a lot of the residents of Mosul. Don't want to have anything to do with the central government, which they see as illegitimate, on the one hand. On the other, it seems that the National Army doesn't really want to fight for the nation. They're far more interested in parochial and sectarian interests.
I'm talking with Dan Murphy of the Christian Science Monitor. Dan, you referred to United States invasion. What responsibility do you think the U.S. has in what's happening in Iraq right now?
Responsibility to fix it or for having created the conditions that are causing the crisis?
Well, let's start with having created the conditions first.
Sure we did. We broke an Iraqi order that was horrific. Saddam Hussein was a particularly bloodthirsty and horrible tyrant, but it was also not really a sectarian regime. Certainly he was incredibly hostile to Al-Qaeda-style groups that have since flourished in the country. We upended an existing order in Iraq, and obviously over 150,000 Iraqis died, largely in the civil war that followed while American troops were there. And what's replaced it is something that is, you know, again, that is fundamentally sectarian and is sort of built ongoing conflict into the DNA of the country. I mean, I don't want to be too alarmist or go too far, but really what's happened in Mosul now raises the specter of a partition of Iraq, that we might see the Iraqi state, you know, for the second time in 20 years, lose control of part of its territory. There's a semi-autonomous Kurdistan in the far north now, and now there's a possibility that these Sunni areas are really going to break away.
So the second part of the question, what role does the United States have in intervening now, do you think?
Well, you know, it's up to, you know, Maliki has been reaching out to the U.S. government and asking for months now and asking us to hit his enemies with airstrikes. Maliki was the guy who kicked us out of 2011. The Obama administration wanted to keep a residual force in Iraq. The Iraqi government refused to sign an agreement. He wanted us gone. Now he wants our air power to help him. The problem with that is that the political problem in Iraq is what's driving the military problem. And if, in effect, we enable Maliki's behavior by helping him buy some time without any guarantees that there's going to be some kind of real process of outreach and reconciliation, we can lead to a greater problem. You know, what's the American responsibility? This is an Iraqi problem now, and certainly I think this government or any American government is going to stand ready to do what it can. But largely, you know, at this point, the job of putting Iraq back together again is something that's certainly beyond our power.
And finally, Dan, you wrote in the Christian Science Monitor today, the crisis creates strange bedfellows. Who are you talking about, and how might that intervention by those bedfellows change the situation in Iraq?
Well, I mean, maybe it's funny, I did use that word, and perhaps I shouldn't have. Essentially, there's a convergence of interests on this narrow issue of really beating back ISIS between the Iranians, between the Syrians, between the United States, and between the Saudis. All of these people have been on opposite sides of the Syrian civil war. Obviously, our relationship with Iran is terrible. But our strategic approach, if we can call it that, in the Middle East for over a decade now, I think has been naive and has put us in a position where it's very difficult for us to intervene. I'll give you an example. Let's imagine that the Obama administration agreed that, yes, we're going to put a lot of air assets at the disposal of the Iraqi government, and we're going to help you fight and retake Mosul. Now we send in a forward air controller to liaise with Iraqi government troops to basically make sure that we don't accidentally bomb and the fire goes to the right place. Well, guess what? There are Iranian Revolutionary Guard advisors already embedded with a lot of those Iraqi troops. Are we going to, because they want to help the Iraqi government beat ISIS too. Are we going to be collaborating with members of the Revolutionary Guard? Don't think so anytime soon, but perhaps this is the kind of choices the United States needs to be considering if we deem the rise of ISIS to be a big threat.
Dan, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Dan Murphy is national security correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Earlier today, President Obama weighed in on the situation in Iraq. He said that he would take nothing off the table when it comes to how the U.S. might involve itself. Members of Congress have also started to speak up. Some Republicans are calling for immediate military intervention there. Washington State Democrat Adam Smith is ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee. Smith told David Hyde the ISIS uprising is a very serious situation for both Iraqis and Americans.
An Al-Qaeda affiliate can basically, you know, take over a significant chunk of Iraq and, you know, set up an Islamic State that, you know, will destabilize the region and potentially threaten the U.S. So it's a very serious situation.
So Al-Qaeda taking over Iraq, should the United States intervene militarily?
At this point, I don't see that as a viable option. I don't know what we would do militarily. You have to have a plan for how it's going to impact things in a positive way. And I have not seen that plan yet. And I mean, this is a very broad Sunni-Shia civil war. And stepping right in the middle of it would be very difficult. So I'm not sure we have a lot of good options right now, but I'm going to be cautious about using the military.
What do you think the Iraqi government needs to be doing right now to limit popular support for this uprising or insurgency or whatever you want to call it, especially among the Sunni population of Iraq?
Well, I think the Iraqi government made a whole bunch of mistakes in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, by not being as inclusive with the Sunnis as they should have been. How do you fix that at this point? It gets very, very difficult. But, you know, they have got to try to reach out to moderate Sunni elements. You know, this was the success that we had in Iraq back in 2008, reaching out to moderate Sunni elements in the Al-Anbar region who did not support the extremists of Al-Qaeda. And they fought back. They're going to need Sunnis who are willing to do that. But to do that, they're going to have to show the Sunnis that, you know, they're going to have a legitimate part in the Iraqi government.
And I'm sure you've seen the report in the New York Times today saying that the Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki secretly asked the Obama administration to intervene long before this, basically with airstrikes, and Republican John Boehner today accusing President Obama of napping on Iraq. Do you think it was a mistake not to intervene sooner with airstrikes?
I don't. I mean, I just, you know, the U.S. military being the solution to everything, I think we've seen that that's simply not the case. I mean, we spent an enormous amount of time, money, and blood in Iraq prior to this trying to settle this dispute. So the idea that pouring the U.S. military back in is going to be some kind of solution, I mean, history does not bear that out. So no, I don't think it was a mistake not to get us involved in another war.
What should we do? What kind of leverage do we have over the Iraqi government? How should we get involved?
We don't have a ton of leverage. I mean, I wish I could, you know, give a more optimistic viewpoint here, but, you know, the best we can do is keep working with them to try to, you know, like I said, bring moderate Sunni elements over, but there's a limited amount that we can do at this point.
President Obama just said this morning he doesn't rule out anything, which sounds to me, probably sounds to other folks back home here in Washington State, like it means he might want to step up military assistance to Iraq possibly. What do you think it means?
No, well, I think it means just that, that he's not ruling anything out. And that's why I'm not saying that I'm ruling anything out either. I'm just saying right now, today, should we start bombing? I don't think so. Not until we have a clear idea of what the mission is, what we're trying to accomplish, and our ability to accomplish it, and then who we're partnering with. So I think the president's taking the right approach in keeping, you know, all options on the table, and trying to figure out what the best thing to do is. It's not easy. It's not a simple solution here.
It seems incredibly complicated to me, but what kinds of options are there?
There's the military options. We can certainly try and arm Iraq more. We can, you know, directly get involved through a bombing campaign or a variety of different things. Or we can, you know, work diplomatically with different groups in the region to try to build support against the Sunni insurgents, against the al-Qaeda insurgents, I should say. None of those are great options. Look, the United States is simply not in a position to reach across the globe and fix a civil war. Lessons that I, you know, would have hoped we would have learned in both Iraq and Afghanistan. There's a limit to what Western militaries can do to force an outcome.
Is there any thought today about, look, we did get involved in Iraq, it's still our responsibility to some extent?
Well, I think if not for that reason, then just because the threat that what's going on in Iraq poses us, it's something we have to, you know, pay attention to and consider options. But, you know, is the military approach right now the best option? I'm not taking it off the table, but we got to see where that's going to get us, because it didn't get us very far the last time.
Just to sum it up, how concerned should folks here in Washington State be about what's happening today in Iraq?
I think it's worth concern. Like I said at the outset, if the al-Qaeda militants get a safe haven in Iraq, you know, that's a threat to our security and certainly to the region's security. It's a very concerning situation.
All right, Adam Smith, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Democrat Adam Smith is the ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee. He represents Washington State's 9th Congressional District. He spoke with David Hyde. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.